Morning. We're in 1 Corinthians 3, if you'd like to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And this lesson today, very important, very powerful, sometimes very convicting. And that's okay. That's the power of God's Word. But it's about spirituality versus carnality. And a lot of times Christians get confused about the difference, thinking, like the Pharisees, that spirituality is based on externals. And it is not. It's based on the heart, as we will see. So notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" We're going to stop there. So our title there, "Ye are yet carnal." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would learn today, we would grow. Lord, we would gain this scriptural understanding of spirituality. And Lord, that you would just do a personal work in each heart through your powerful word. May your will be done. May you be glorified. And we love you and commit this service to you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So Paul is obviously not writing to the unsaved. He's writing to the church that he planted at Corinth. By the way, it's been 5 years since he planted the church. And in verse 1, he says, "Brethren." So we know that he's not writing to the unsaved. He's writing to Christians. So we've got that established. Christians that, again, the church was started 5 years ago. Christians that Paul had hoped had grown more than they had. Now, the book of 1 Corinthians, more than any other New Testament book, is a book of rebuke. Rebuke about a lot of issues. Some of them doctrinal, some of them behavioral. But it's a book filled with Paul having to rebuke them for various things. But here he's specifically pointing out that they are not where they should be spiritually. Notice he says in verse 1, "I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." He's saying, "I'm disappointed that it's been 5 years since I planted this church, and many of you are still carnal and not spiritual." Now, obviously, it's God's desire for us to be spiritual. Amen? We're commanded to be spiritual. Look at an example in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And we're going to have more explanation about what that means, spiritual versus carnal. But God expects his children to be spiritual. Notice Galatians 6, 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Notice he specifically says there, "ye which are spiritual." Ye which are spiritual. Look at Colossians 1:9, over a couple more books from Galatians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. God says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Spiritual understanding. And we're going to understand that better later as well. But he says, "I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." Now that word carnal means fleshly. It means being ruled by, it means being surrendered to and being led by the old man, the flesh, it's this body. Spiritual, obviously, then, that contrast is we're not being led by the old man, we're being led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Who communes with our spirit. which has been given life through salvation. But even though they'd been saved 5 years, he said, you are still carnal. You've not grown into spiritual Christians. Now, the carnal mind, if you go to Romans 8, is not what God wants for his children. As a matter of fact, God teaches us that when we are carnal, when we're being led by the flesh, that we're actually acting like God's enemy. You say, well, how's that even possible that a believer, that a child of God, someone on their way to heaven, someone born again, could actually act like God's enemy? Trust me, it happens every day. Romans 8, 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Notice the carnal mind is enmity. That means at odds with. It means an enemy of God. They that are in the flesh can't please God. Our battle here on this earth, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, is not a carnal battle. It is a spiritual battle. And yet many Christians think that they can fight and win the battle while they're living a carnal life. It cannot be done. You cannot fight the devil when you're carnal. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, the weapons that we have to fight the devil with, to fight this old world with, are not carnal weapons. They're not fleshly weapons. They're spiritual weapons. And of course, we read about them in Ephesians, don't we? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always in the Spirit, and so forth. Those are spiritual ways to fight. But many Christians want to fight through carnal means, and it's a waste of time. So Paul then defines it further. Go back to our passage, 1 Corinthians 3. He says, as unto carnal, even as unto babes. And so he's saying that you're acting like baby Christians. Now, every person that is just saved is a baby Christian, by definition. Because they just got saved. They were just born again. Just like when we were born the first time, we're born a baby, right?
That's right.
When you're born the second time, you're born again as a babe in Christ. And that's okay. You don't know the Bible yet. You don't know how to live for Jesus yet. And that's okay. You're going to learn those things. And you're going to grow. And you're going to mature. And one day, you're going to grow up and not be a babe in Christ anymore. You're going to be an adult in Christ, a mature Christian. But Paul says, you are carnal, you're acting like baby Christians. You're acting like you just got saved when you've been saved for 5 years. So when we think about a babe, what are some characteristics? Well, they don't know the difference between right and wrong, right? They don't comprehend that yet. And so a baby Christian, same problem. They don't understand right and wrong. What else do we see about babes? They don't have a conscience yet that's operating, right? They don't, you know, when they do something wrong, they don't quite understand yet that there's consequences to doing wrong. That comes later when they're older, maybe 4 or 5 years old, right? And that's a baby Christian too. They don't contemplate that disobedience that's not been dealt with is going to bring consequences from God. They don't even get it. And we could go on and on, but God's will is that we stop being a baby. Amen? That we don't act like a baby, that we act like an adult. So notice some examples. 1 Corinthians 14:20, if you would. And we find that it is God's will that his children don't stay babies. Don't stay carnal. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Short verse, but look what it says. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding, what? Be men. Grow up. Be men in your understanding. Don't be a baby in your understanding of the scriptures. Look at another one, Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Baby Christians are much easier to deceive than mature Christians. Carnal Christians are much easier to deceive, talking about the devil, than spiritual Christians. And that's what he says. Be no more children. Grow up. Grow up in your understanding of Scripture, and of course, grow up in your behavior. Act like a mature Christian, not a baby Christian. And he says, go back to our passage, verse 2, therefore, he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. In other words, you aren't ready for the meat. He's saying you should be because you've been saved for this long, but you're not ready. I keep having to drip feed you from a bottle. Can you imagine a 5-year-old walking into school, his first day of school, and he's got a bottle hanging out of his mouth? That wouldn't go over too well with the other kids, would it?
No.
Wouldn't take them long to start making fun of that child. But that's exactly what the Corinthian Christians looked like, spiritually speaking, to the Apostle Paul. You're still babies drinking milk. And you should be grown up. And he talks about milk versus meat in Hebrews 5, if you want to turn there quickly, verse 13. What does he mean? Well, this Bible is pretty big. You would all agree. Over 31,000 verses. That's a lot. And there are many portions in this book that are definitely not milk. I would definitely not call the book of Revelation milk. Or the book of Ezekiel. Those books, you got to be mature before you can start feeding on those books. God gave us some milk, didn't he? Some beautiful milk, especially the Gospel of John and Romans. That's why we usually tell a new believer, start in John, then go to Romans. Why? Because there's a lot of milk in there. Now, there's some meat always interspersed, but it's a lot of good milk, which was what babies need. But Paul said, I fed you with milk and not with meat. Look at Hebrews 5:13. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Here it is again, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So now we find something else that a baby Christian is lacking, and that's discernment. So they're not only lacking this understanding of right and wrong, they're not only lacking this understanding of the consequences of doing wrong, but they're lacking discernment. Discernment's a very important thing for Christians. We're faced with decisions every day. And God wants us to make those decisions based on what he's guided us through in his word. Amen? But when you don't have spiritual discernment, you often will make wrong decisions about not only your beliefs, but about your behavior. He says to these ones here in Hebrews 5, if you're still on the milk, then you're not ready to discern what? But both good and evil. It takes discernment. And that discernment comes with time and with growth as we mature and graduate from the milk to the meat. And Paul says, I'm very disappointed in you, Corinthians, because you're still babies. You're still carnal. And you should be spiritual. Verse 2 of our passage, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. You still aren't ready for the meat. They were not growing as they should. Now we're told to grow, amen? 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, as not written to babies, but it says like a baby, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. All through the New Testament, we're told to be growing, growing in our spiritual discernment, growing in our Christian life from a baby to an adult, growing and graduating from the milk to the meat, from carnality to spirituality. And so then he gives us a bit more in verse 3 and says, ye are yet carnal. And he says, whereas there is among you some things that, what? Your behavior shows that you are carnal. And some of those things that he lists here are what? Envy, strife, and division. Envy, that's obvious, that's jealousy. Strife, that's discord. Someone who likes to fight all the time. And of course, division versus unity. He says, I'm hearing reports back. He tells us about it in the second epistle to Corinth, that in the church there is envying, strife, and division. That's outward behavior, and that's how I know that you're still carnal and not spiritual. But the whole epistle of 1 Corinthians teaches many more other things that show carnality, that show immaturity in Christ. It talks about things like unforgiveness. That's a sign of carnality. Rebellion against authority, that's covered in this epistle. Judgmentalism, or focusing on the sins of others, that's in this epistle. Vainglory, all of these things are signs of carnality, of immaturity in Christ. It talks about the tongue, talking about people versus talking about God, gossip, in other words, versus encouraging. Even talks about church, enjoying church versus serving in the church. Talks about basically being a Pharisee. Look at Matthew 23:5. And this is where it comes down to the practicality is the devil has been at this for a long time. And when Jesus came to the earth, who were the worst offenders in teaching the people that it was all about externals instead about the heart? Now, he pointed out things like envy, strife, and division. Those are heart problems, aren't they? Envy's a heart problem. Person who's into strife or division, that's all a heart problem. But when Jesus came to the earth, who were the most guilty when it came to teaching that it's all about the externals? It wasn't the heathen. It was the religious leaders. It was the Pharisees and the scribes. And that's why Jesus said here in Matthew 23:5, that all their works they do for to be seen of men. Talking, this is one of the times when he rebuked them quite often. But he says they do what they do, not for God. They do it to be seen of men. Do not let the devil trick you into being a Pharisee. And thinking that, well, you know, I was taught as a kid that if I'll just be faithful to church, then I'm spiritual. Well, don't get me wrong. God wants us to be faithful to church. No question about it. But being faithful to church does not necessarily mean you are spiritual. Because sitting in a chair doesn't guarantee that you're listening and taking it on board and responding as the Holy Spirit convicts, does it? It just means you're here. But it doesn't mean that the Word is actually working in your life and growing you and maturing you in your faith. That's up to you. You have to listen. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, you have to respond. But this is one of the devil's tricks. If you just be faithful to church, you're spiritual. Not necessarily. I'll bet most of these Corinthians were pretty faithful to church, and yet they're still carnal after 5 years. So it's not just about being faithful, although we should be. I'm saying that doesn't guarantee anything. And we could go on and on, couldn't we? Oh, if I raise my family a certain way, then I'm spiritual. Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, 70 years ago, pretty much everybody raised their kids based on biblical principles, even though they might not have known they came from the Bible. And most families were, raised right. But that didn't make them spiritual. That just meant they implemented some principles that work. Spirituality is not based on the outward, is what Paul is trying to get across to them. It's based on the heart. Look at Galatians chapter 5, if you would. Calvin, could you do me a favor and grab a couple of batteries off my... it's in my top right drawer. Thanks, brother. So I'll speak louder until we get those batteries. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's spirituality versus carnality, isn't it? And what makes the difference? Walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God. Now on down, look at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. Now, yes, those things do display themselves in how we behave. But, thank you, brother. If you'll notice, they're all matters of the heart. Amen? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. They're all matters of the heart. So if you want to know if you're walking in the Spirit, just look over that list. Is this me? Am I that kind of a Christian? Am I a Christian that loves others biblically? That's filled with the joy of the Lord? That has peace, not only in my heart, but with each other? That is patient, long-suffering, that's gentle with others? That's meek? That's temperate, in other words, self-control. I have my old man under control. God says, there it is. There's spirituality. Verse 24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Every believer lives in the Spirit because they have the Spirit of God and they've been baptized into the body of Christ. But not every Christian is walking in the Spirit. So if you want to know if you're spiritual, just ask the Word of God. Or your husband or wife, your choice. But if you want to know if you're spiritual, it's not based upon the externals. Don't let the devil trick you into being a Pharisee and a scribe and thinking, well, if I'm just faithful to church, if I do this, and if I don't do this, and if I don't do this, then I'm spiritual. No. No. Paul said, I've heard about division. I've heard about envy. I've heard about these other issues. Strife. Unforgiveness. Rebellion. Judgmentalism. And that's how I know that you're carnal. That's how I know that you're still babies drinking milk when you should be eating steak. Amen? And it's always up to us. I mean, if you're born again Christian, God lives in you. Amen. The Holy Spirit lives and indwells you and wants to lead you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. But He is not going to force Himself on you. God gave us a free will. We make the choice. We're going to either yield to the Spirit of God and let Him lead our lives, or we're going to yield to the old man and live a carnal Christian life. But Paul said to these Corinthians, "Ye are yet carnal. You've been saved 5 years. I've been teaching you. I've been sending you all of this great information, and you're still carnal. What's wrong? I want you to grow up. I want you to be spiritual Christians. Adult, mature Christians. Not, as he says in verse 1, babes in Christ. Not, as he says in verse 1, carnal. Being led by the flesh, as we saw there in Galatians 5, versus being led by the Spirit. When we were born again, we were made a new creature. Amen. We were made a new creature. We were even given a new nature. The divine nature, we're told in 2 Peter chapter 1. But again, that does not guarantee that we're going to live our life as a spiritual Christian. We might be living our lives as a carnal Christian. The choice is ours. It's not that the tools aren't available. We've got the Word of God and we've got the Holy Spirit. That's all we need to be spiritual. But we also need to be in the Word and we need to yield to the Spirit of God. Amen. Romans 6, we'll turn there and finish. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 6. And so I'm not asking the question. I believe God's asking the question of each of us. Am I a carnal Christian or am I a spiritual Christian? Let God answer the question. Go to the Word of God. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, is that a reflection of me or not? Notice Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. See that word yield? That's something we have to do. Holy Spirit's already there. We've got the Word of God. But the yielding, that's up to us. And yield means to give Him control. Yield means, yes, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit guide my life. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to me through the Word and points something out of my life that isn't right, I'm not just going to ignore it. I'm going to respond to it. I'm going to confess it. And I'm going to strive through the Word to get it right. I'm going to yield. Amen. Give way to the Holy Spirit in my life. And the more that we do that, the closer we get to being a spiritual Christian rather than a carnal Christian. You can do all the right things. I mean, there are people that do all the right things and they're not even saved. You know, the church that my wife and I got involved in Seattle, where I was called to preach, We had an evangelistic meeting, and there was a call for salvation, an altar call for salvation, and our church pianist came forward, and he'd been in the church 20 years, and he was like the number one pianist in the church, and he came forward, and like a week later, he gave a testimony, and he said, "All this time, I've just been putting on a show, and I wasn't even born again." Wow. And I mean, he had a sweet family, wife and kids. He was always in church, playing the piano all the time. He said, "I was just hiding behind the piano, but I wasn't saved." Imagine if he would have died before that happened and gone to hell. Think about that. So from the outside, we all called him brother, of course, because he was a brother. From the outside, everything looked wonderful. There were no indications that he was unsaved. Because we can't see hearts. Amen? Man looketh on the outward appearance, the Lord looketh on the heart. What I'm saying is you can make everything look so perfect on the outside and still be carnal. You can still be a babe. So let's do our best to be spiritual, to grow up. And be spiritual on the inside, then guaranteed the outside will be spiritual. Because it all starts in the heart. He says to these Corinthians that have been saved 5 years, ye are yet carnal. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us today about spirituality versus carnality. And I pray, Lord, that as the Holy Spirit speaks to each of our hearts, that we would not push him away. But we would be sensitive to him. Allow him to point out the areas in our life where we need to grow, where we need to mature, so we can truly be a spirit-filled, spirit-led Christian. And put the carnality behind us. I pray that this can become real in every life. Lord, if there's someone not born again, I pray they would start there. First, they need to be saved. They need the Holy Spirit. But if we have the Holy Spirit, I pray we would yield to him, that we would grow in him, we would listen to him, and we would live a Christian life that is truly spiritual. Thank you so much for speaking to our hearts. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.